During this Chinese-speaking conference in this weekend, this is the last session. Those who have been here in the previous sessions should have remembered that the general subject is Noah, Daniel, and Job, patterns of living an overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill the economy of God.
Now,
we have said that all of these are for the Lord to gain an exceedingly glorious change in this age. These three persons lived in the past in different ages, yet God used them in order to accomplish what God needed in their respective age, the change that God wanted to accomplish in their age. God's work has its procedure in its order in various stages. From the human point of view, there are different ages, different periods of time. Yet, what we need today is, by the Lord's mercy, to know the age in which we live. What kind of age is it? Of course, this is a very broad topic. We don't have time to analyze it that much. Yet, we need to know the age in which we live. It is the end of the age, is nearing the end of the age. Concerning the end time, don't just think about the end of the world, World War III, or those strange things, prophecies, etc. It doesn't mean that those things have no position. All of those are used by God. But, brothers and sisters, what we need the most, or what God needs the most, is to gain a group of people on this earth who know the spiritual age, not the physical condition, outward material condition. Rather, we need a spiritual eyesight to see in our spirit that, based on who God is in this universe, what is His person, what is His work, and what is His move, what is His heart's desire, what is His goal? To know the age, whether it is this age or any other age, you should know these things about God. So I feel that this weekend conference is very, very crucial. Not just for us Chinese-speaking saints, but for all the saints in the Lord's recovery. We need to have a new seeing, a deeper seeing, to such an extent that not only do we acquire some so-called high truths or some spiritual knowledge, Rather, through studying these three persons with the help of the ministry, we would go further, go more deeply into God's heart, God's burden, God's good pleasure, God's economy. These are the major items. The God's economy is the greatest item because this economy that God plans, that God designs, needs to be accomplished so that God's heart's desire can be fulfilled, so that His good pleasure can be satisfied. Standing here this morning, I feel that it's not so easy because the burden within is so heavy. Not to just to give a good message, rather, here there is such a burden. May the Lord cover me. This burden is of God, out of God, and it is what all the things in the recovery need to know and see. This morning, message 5 is the second message about Job. Before getting into the outline, I would like to show you an overview. This morning, I want to do three things. Very heavy, important things that need a lot of the time. So it is even impossible to get into all of these within the limited time. But I will just show you the three burdens for this morning. First, while preparing for this message on the book of Job, through the word of the ministry, to once again get into this burden inside of me, I had such a heavy feeling that the saints all need a new seeing, a deeper seeing, so that the lost recovery will not be a light matter. Rather, we do not take care of it in a light way, carefree way. We are not just one group of Christians in Christianity. Rather, we are the genuine testimony of the Lord on this earth. We should be those who can see these higher things, not only to see, but also to live out these higher things. We cannot expect to have a large number of such people. It might be in the principle of the remnant. So it's just a minority among whom God can point out and boast to Satan, I have such a group of people on this earth. First, I need to release my burden. If I can successfully discharge this burden, perhaps 80% of this message is delivered. Number two, especially for those who are here with us in the previous meetings, we need to come back to message one that Brother James Lee gave. I'm not going to repeat his speaking, but rather to get into some very important points in that outline, which is related to the burden of this conference. Why should we talk about these three persons, Noah, Daniel, and Job? There is a reason for this. Based on that, we will once again see God's eternal economy and to see how today we can live a genuinely overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill God's economy so that we can be those who turn the age. Third, I would read the outline to you. I don't need that much time. If you gain the seeing, then it is easy for you to understand the outline. This morning, I need a longer time for the speaking. Yet, because there will be other fellowship and announcements, I need to end my speaking by 11:30. If I cannot finish, we can wait for another opportunity. Let me tell you, I am so full, I can release a number of messages. We should all have some knowledge about Job, and I don't need to repeat the story about him. I would like to get into Job chapter 10. Job was there arguing, debating with his three friends. And during that debating, you know, the book of Job is one of the poetical books. So one of the five books of poetry. Actually, it's the first one. The first book of poetry followed by Psalms, Proverbs, etc. So a lot of the speaking recorded in this book is very much poetic, not uttered in a carefree way. So during this discourse of Job with his friends, sometimes he was speaking to his friends, sometimes he was speaking to God. In chapter 10, there is one sentence that I never noticed. Chapter 10, verse 13. But you have hidden these things in your heart. These things, referring to the suffering, the stripping, the loss that Job experienced. You are consuming me in these things. You may say, of course, it is Satan. Yet, Satan is just a tool, an instrument. It is actually God himself dealing with Job. Job says, but you have hidden these things in your heart. Pay attention to this. You have hidden these things in your heart. Job lived in the ancient time, about the same time as Abraham. Probably even earlier than Abraham. If that was true, the first book in the Bible is the book of Job, not Genesis. Genesis was written by Moses. The Pentateuch was written by Moses. Yet chronologically, from the view of time, the book of Job is the first one. Isn't this marvelous? Job says, you have hidden these things in your heart. These things are hidden in God's heart. That means these dealings of God on Job, seemingly unreasonable, seemingly so cruel to such a person who fears God, who turns away from evil, yet God dealt with such a person in this way. These things are so hard to understand. Job could not understand. He talked with his friends. His friends did not understand. Yet, Job had an understanding that these things have been hidden in God's heart. That means these things actually come out of God's deliberation, God's arrangement. Otherwise, these things would not have happened to him. Job was not clear what are these things. Yet, he knew that those things were hidden in God's heart. I know that this is with you. Thousands of years ago, there is such a person. He had such an understanding. This is not so simple. I know that this is with you. You have an intention. You have a will. You have a mind related to these things. Why is this verse so important? You must go to the life study of Job, at least the important footnotes in the recovery version. There, Brother Lee again and again said such words. In the time of Job, God's revelation to man is in a very primitive stage. It was a very primitive revelation. They offered sacrifices to God. They knew about God. Yet their revelation is very primitive. The things hidden in God's heart, God did not tell anyone. Even at the end of the book of Job, he said that, with the hearing of the ear, I heard about you. Now with my eyes, I see you. Yet, Job did not see that much compared with us. Compared with us who are living here today, what Job saw could never be compared with what we see today. To interpret the book of Job, you must rely on Paul. If you don't know Paul, not the person of Paul, but what Paul saw, if you don't know what Paul was doing, what revelation did Paul receive, you would never open up the book of Job. Let me add a little bit more. You said, even Paul was in the Bible thousands of years ago. Even if you have the Bible, even if you have the epistles of Paul, you still do not see. My point is this, brothers and sisters, if you do not have the ministry of the age in the loss recovery today. If you do not have the interpretation of the ministry of the age, you still do not see this. Today in the United States, every family had one or two copies of the Bible. Last year, the Bible sales went up. Everybody purchased the Bible. They study the Greek Bible, the Latin Bible. But do you really see what the Bible is talking about? Even if you see something, it's still very superficial on the surface. What the Lord has given us today, this ministry of the age is so, so precious. The intrinsic stress of Paul's epistles was fully opened up to us, brothers and sisters. I'm standing here to exhort all of you to really get into this present day ministry. It is not optional. You must enter into it. If you do not enter into it, you cannot see what we need to see today. I testified to you. In the past, I read the book of Job. Eventually, I came out with different kinds of strange thoughts that I invented. It is altogether off from the proper interpretation. It's altogether according to my interpretation. All of these are on the line of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Paul says, now I rejoice because of the afflictions that I suffer for the body of Christ. To make up for the afflictions of Christ, Paul suffered a lot, maybe more than Job, because his ministry lasted a longer time and is altogether suffering upon suffering. Yet he said, according to the stewardship that was given to me for you, in order to complete the word of God. Paul completed the word of God. So if you don't read Paul, you do not know Paul. You would not understand the book of Job, because Paul completed the word of God. He opened up the whole Bible. The entire Old Testament is opened up. If you don't have Paul, there is no opening up, which is the mystery that has been hidden from the ages and from the generations. In all of the past ages and generations, all of these are hidden. Those are the mysteries. Even Job did not know. All the people after Job, they did not know until Paul. Listen, he said, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, no matter how many times you read the book of Job, it's still a great mystery to you. He had a lot of questions. After reading all of those, you have even more questions. In my simple way of expression, among humanity, three major problems. Why do I live here? In other words, what is the meaning of my human life? No matter what race, what background you are from, everyone has such a question within. This is about eternity. Second, all the things that happen to me, why? For what reason? Why? Is it because I have an ill fate, or did I do something wrong, or my parents did something wrong that I need to be punished? Among different civilizations, different races, they had their own way to interpret these things. Number three, where am I going? What about my future? What about my destiny? These three major questions that everybody asks. The unbelievers ask these questions. The Christians ask these questions. The Christians are a little better, but they still are asking these questions. Let me answer these questions in the most simple way. The meaning of human existence is to express God. To express God. This is my simple answer to the first question. So many philosophers, scholars, they ask the same question. Second, all the things that happened to me, especially the sufferings, the illnesses, the hardships. The first question is why? Let me answer in this simple way. To gain God. All the things that happen to us are so that we will gain God. This is Paul's word. To the third question, what about my future? What about my destiny? My destination? Again, I will answer briefly. To become God. So haven't I answered the three questions? First, what is the purpose and meaning of human life? To express God. Today, this God is in Christ Jesus, who is the embodiment of the triune God. Today, in our New Testament usage, it is actually, we say, we live Christ, which is also to express God. If you do not express God, your human life is altogether meaningless. Job, he had everything. Wealth, children, grandchildren, and fame. He had all of these, even all kinds of virtues he possessed. Let me compare him with Solomon. Solomon also wrote a book of poetry, Ecclesiastes, Vanity of Vanities. Some said Solomon was the richest king in human history. He must be a trillionaire in today's world. He had the God-given wisdom. The only difference between Solomon and Job is that Solomon is one who is not so moral, not so ethical. He was bankrupt in morality. Yet, Job was a perfect man. Both of them were successful. One day, God used Satan to, first of all, take away his possessions and his children. Overnight, his servants came one by one to tell him about those being taken away from him. That is not enough. Satan came again. God said, okay, you can go and do whatever you want just to spare his life. After these two dealings, this person was stripped of everything that he possessed. He lost his wealth, his health, his children, all of his successes, attainments were gone, reduced to nothing. Yet this person, he said, I still have something. What is that? My uprightness. My perfectness. My morality. I turn away from evil. I fear God. Don't take this away from me. All of those things can be taken away from me. But these things are still with me. Who knows? Actually, this is the very thing that God wants to strip away from him. Not just the outward possessions, but what is within him. God wants to take away what is within him and replace those, the human righteousness, the human perfection. God wants to replace those with himself. Of course, Solomon needed God. He was an immoral person. Yet Job was a moral person. He needed God even more. It's not a matter of right or wrong, good or evil. It's a matter of whether you have God or not. Why do things happen to you and me? Why do you beget such a bad child? Why is this strange sickness upon you? Why? Only Paul says, all things work together for good of those who love God. The good is not that after a lot of sufferings, God added to you more material blessings. That was the wrong way of interpreting the conclusion of the book of Job. This good man, God just want to deal with him and cleanse him. Eventually, he came out an even better person and God gave him more material blessings. That is not the book of Job. The book of Job is God's stripping and consuming again and again until this person is reduced to nothing. He only has God himself. You said, why is God so cruel, so mean? That is your old way of thinking. These are the things that are hidden in God's heart. hidden, the mystery hidden in the ages and in the generations, that God wants to dispense himself to be constituted into a person in the old creation through a metabolic organic process to remove those old things, those that are not God himself, using message one or the idols, including your spirituality, could be an idol. The success of our work could become an idol, even spiritual work. You get a large number of children, all of those are successful from the Ivy League. Some are lawyers, some are medical doctors. I don't mean that those are not good. Yet, even those might not be God himself. God wants this universe to be filled with Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. That is his church that God is after. So when we read this book of Job, we need to interpret it in this way, to thoroughly open it up, not to have those kind of thoughts, the natural thoughts, on the line of tree of knowledge, not on the line of life. To understand Job, you must read Paul. Paul said, 2 Corinthians, we were pressed in on every side, but not constricted, unable to find a way out, but not utterly without a way out, persecuted, but not abandoned, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death operates in us, but life in you. I skip a few verses. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory. Because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. When you read the book of Job, do not just take care of the things that are seen. You need to pay attention to the things which are not seen. We need to turn from the material realm into a divine and mystical realm so that we can understand these mysteries. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This person of Job, after 42 chapters, more wealth, more children, those things, how long can they last? Even those are temporary, are still vain, vanity. The only thing that is not vain is Christ, is God. All things are momentary, are temporary. We are here for the eternal things. In the Lord's recovery, we are here for the eternal things. I don't mean that we do not take care of our living. We are still human beings. We still need to live a proper human life. Yet, to be a proper human being, we should not live in a way like Job. We need to forsake our flesh and our natural constitution. We need to lay hold of another life, the eternal life of God, which is Christ Himself. We need to eat and drink Him in. And let this life be constituted in us, so that in our human living, what do? To express this very Christ, His human virtues and His divine attributes will be expressed through us. This is our goal. So everything that happens to us so that we will gain more of Christ. That is why in Philippians, this is again Paul's word, which I will use to prove this matter. He said, I can also rely on the flesh to boast of the flesh. If others can boast of their flesh, I can also. Concerning circumcision, I'm circumcised the eighth day. I'm of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, become blameless. Job was before the age of the law. He had his own way of ethical living, ethical law. He obeyed his ethical law. And Paul lived after the age of the law, so he kept God's law, the spiritual law. Yet, he said, as to the righteousness which is in the law, out of his conscience, he said, I am blameless. Paul was blameless. I think none of us would be bold enough to say that we are blameless. Yet, listen, he said, but what things were gains to me, these things in the law. I kept the law successfully. These I have counted as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you see this? In Paul, because he saw what was hidden in the heart of God, God's eternal heart's desire was that God wants man to be filled with Christ, to become the expression of Christ. This is God's heart's desire. Paul saw this. So he said, I count all things to be lost. I just want to gain Christ as my treasure. He said, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse that I may gain Christ. Do we have such a heart? Even if God bless us with some material blessing, even though these are from God, we count those as refuse that we may gain Christ, which is actually to gain God. After this process, through all of the things that we encounter, that we pass through, all kinds of sufferings in our human life, all the things that happen to us,
all the things that happen to us,
are for us to gain more of Christ.
有一个歌啊，是不是？
We have a hymn.
我实在我们需要一些新歌。
We really need some new hymns. We do need some new hymns. Anyway, we have this hymn.
十字架的道路里面。
On the way of the cross.
那个题目之下。这个但是摸到那个保罗的那个感觉。保罗不单。
That touch, Paul's feeling. Paul was not there to complain to God. Paul said, I maintain the joy in my heart. He was in the Roman prison, suffering great sufferings. Yet he said, I rejoice. This is a person who knows God. This is a person who has the revelation, whether through life or through death, whether to lose the freedom while in being imprisoned, whether I have the material supply or not, no matter what, that Christ will be magnified in my body as always.
那首诗歌说我要赞美再要赞美
That hymn, English 626 verse 5 says, Oh, I'll praise thee even if weeping mingle with my song. Thine increasing sweetness calls forth grateful praises all day long.
你能增加
Thou hast made thyself more precious than all else to me. Thou increase and I decrease, Lord, this is now my only plea. Chorus. Each blow I suffer is true gain to me. In the place of what thou takest, we might replace this word takest as with consuming, killing, removing. In the place of what thou takest, thou dost give thyself to me. I used to love this hymn. I knew this hymn just for my own spirituality. I will take the dealing of the cross so that I become more spiritual. No, that is not the real purpose. All the dealing is for the element of Christ to increase in us. It's all the sufferings are for us to gain God, to have the triune God more constituted in us. One day, the old heaven and old earth will pass away. Everything will pass away. What remains in the new heaven and new earth is just God and man. All the idols are gone. All of the world is no longer there. All of the righteousness of man is no longer necessary. There is nothing to succeed. Everywhere is God. Everywhere is man. That is the universal God-man. The New Jerusalem. I have spoken too much, but have you seen this, brothers and sisters? Have you seen this? I hope you see something. You need to go back and read the book of Job, not in a light way, but to read with the help of the footnotes and with the help of the life studies. How about this? I do hope that this conference can cause the lost recovery to go forward and to go deeper. Our vision is so high. Yet the book of Job will lead us into the experience, the practicality. With these three persons as the pattern, all of us will be made patterns, patterns of being a God-man. Ezekiel 14 verses 14 and 20. Actually, there is one more verse between these two about these three men. So these three men were mentioned three times. Now I need to address what our brother gave us in message one, the revelation based on these three persons. I'll just read to you. If you still have outline number one with you, please follow. I will just read two Roman numerals. Roman numeral one. Noah, Daniel, and Job are patterns. These three persons are patterns. These ancient people, yet under the light today, can be patterns to us. Patterns revealing how we can live an overcoming life on the line of life to fulfill the economy of God. This is to live and work according to the vision of the age to change the age. Brothers and sisters, this is God's calling, the call for overcomers today. Let me add one word. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the seven epistles to the churches in Asia Minor, every epistle ends with the same word. He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear.
He who has an ear.
He who has an ear. It does not say you. It says he who has an ear. Concerning overcomers, there is the corporate aspect. For example, the man child, the golden lampstand, the bride. This is the corporate aspect of the overcomer. Yet today, standing here, I want to declare this intensified calling of the Lord Jesus in a personalized way. He who has an ear, brother, sister, you, that is referring to you individually. He who has an ear, let him hear. You must hear yourself. Do not hear for others. Oh, they are all here. As soon as they understand, that is good enough. Whether I understand or not, it's not so significant. Lord, I humble myself. I empty myself. Lord, be merciful to me. Open my ear so that I can hear your present day speaking. You might have read it, but you might not have heard it. You heard this message with your outward ear, but your inner ear, do you really hear what the Lord is speaking to you personally?
He who overcomes.
And then another expression is, he who overcomes. He who overcomes. He who overcomes. The English expression is very clear. He who overcomes. That is referring to an individual. So, the first, he is the call. The second, he is to answer the call. He who has an ear. He who overcomes. I hope that this morning, this calling here, these five messages in this weekend conference is not just to talk about the three persons, how they overcome, how they are patterns. No, this is a call, a calling to you and I, you young people here, you might not know that much. You are not that mature in life, but you must hear this word and take this as the standard of your Christian life. Today, we are not in the age of Job. We are not in the age of Noah. We are not in the age of Daniel. Today, in our age, which is the consummate age, according to Paul's word in Galatians, it is still an evil present age. The entire age is evil, just like the days of Noah. Daniel was in an idolatrous civilization during the captivity. And Job had his own experiences. Whether good or bad are evil. If you do not have God, that is evil. If you are Christless, it is evil. Roman numeral 2 on message 1. The lives of Noah, Daniel, and Job reveal the triune God dispensing himself, working himself into his chosen and redeemed people to fulfill his eternal economy. The entire Bible was written according to the governing principle of the triune God. You need to pay attention to every word. Every word is important. The triune God dispensing himself into us for us to experience him, enjoy him, and express him for the fulfillment of his divine economy. If you go outside among the Christians out there, many of them really love the Lord. They are really saved and they are really zealous in their service to the Lord. Yet, when they come across such an utterance, how many really understand this? I tell myself, oh man, it is for this reason that you have a strong responsibility. Every one of us in the Lord's recovery has a heavy responsibility because who God gave more, he want to reap even more. The more you see, the higher the standard you see, the higher the requirement. Dear brothers and sisters, we have over 4,000 here. We are not here to stir up a movement of the recovery. Rather, we are here for the success of God's divine economy. This is not for your pleasure, not for your own blessing. It is for God's desire, God's good pleasure to be satisfied. Of course, if we take this way of stripping, this way of the loss, this way of the cross, the eventual destination is glorious. Exceedingly, surpassingly great glory. That is God and man joined and mingled to become one. In the midst of your suffering, when you have a broken heart, you read the book of Job, not just to receive some comfort. Yes, man needs some comfort, but even more, we need to see the hidden things, things hidden in the heart of Jehovah. The opening up of this will give you an answer to your question. This mystery has already been opened up to the prophets and the apostles. Let me read the third person. Okay, A, with Noah we see God the Father in his faithfulness to keep his eternal covenant, signified by the rainbow, which is his eternal economy to dispense the all-inclusive Christ into his chosen people as righteousness. When you touch the rainbow, you touch the righteousness of God, not only righteousness, but also holiness and glory. These are the different colors of the rainbow, to make them the wise exhibition of all that Christ is. One day, the church will become the wise exhibition of all that Christ is. This is something that is in eternity, in God's heart. Why did God create the heavens and earth and you and I? It is for that very purpose. B, with Daniel, we see that Christ the Son is the centrality and universality of God's move, and that the goal of God's eternal economy is to have the corporate Christ, Christ with his overcomers, as the crushing stone, to be his dispensational instrument to end this age and become a great mountain to fill the whole earth, making the whole earth God's kingdom. This great mountain is the corporate God-man. To become the kingdom of Christ on this earth, so that the entire earth can be recovered. Today, the whole universe is there waiting, sighing for, expecting the manifestation of the sons of God to terminate all the vanity, to bring in the unique reality of the universe, which is Christ himself, expressed in his chosen and redeemed, regenerated, transformed, renewed, conformed, and glorified people. This corporate vessel is the New Jerusalem. Today, we need to live in this reality. See, with Job, we see God the Spirit bringing his lovers through the process of transformation. With Noah, we see God the Father. With Daniel, we see Christ the Son. With Job, we see God the Spirit bringing his lovers through the process of transformation by the renewing of the Holy Spirit in their seeing God, to gain God and be transformed by God, to carry out what is in the heart of God by becoming God in life, in nature, and in appearance, but not in the Godhead, for the corporate expression of God, the glory of God. I hope that these are not just some vain words that sound nice, sound sophisticated. Rather, these should become our reality. Amen? Okay, for the rest of the time, let me add one more thing, a few words. This is written by the brother who wrote the outline for this conference. I would recommend to you, the year 2005, we have a series of messages given in the spring term of the full-time training. Today, I don't know about the Chinese translation, but for the English, you have the Ministry Magazine, Volume 10, number 7 and number 8. You go to that magazine. Those issues were published in 2006, October, November, December. Just go to those messages. They would open up this matter in such a thorough way. Our brother who prepared the outline for this conference said this. We need to understand that the three persons, in considering these three names, we realize that the lives of Noah, Daniel, and Job reveal the triune God dispensing himself into his chosen people to fulfill his economy. With Noah, we see God the Father in his design and plan for his building and in his eternal faithfulness in keeping his covenant, his word. We need time to consider, to pray read over these. With Daniel, we see Christ the Son as the centrality and universality of God's move and his second coming as the Son of Man. This is mentioned several times, the Son of Man, in the book of Daniel. Finally, with Job, we see God the Spirit in his transforming work to carry out what is hidden in God's heart, so that we might gain God to become God in life, in nature, and in appearance, but not in the Godhead, for the corporate expression of God. Please, after this conference, spend time to get into these treasures. When I talk about these three persons, it's easy to be reminded of three other persons: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, related to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, working among his earliest elect. It is in the age of the promise, not the age of the law yet. In principle, God's work in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same as his work on Noah, Daniel, and Job. God wants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to know God's work, especially with Jacob. There is the killing of the cross and the transforming work of the Spirit. You see the triune God revealed so clearly. But this weekend, we are looking at the other three persons. Okay, just one more thing before I read the outline. Paul, why could he withstand and suffer all the afflictions and hardships? Not only had he seen the story hidden in God's heart, Paul could withstand all the sufferings because he had the resurrected life of Christ. Job, in the Old Testament, they did not have the resurrection life. Even the psalmists, they do not have the resurrection life of Christ. Yet, brothers and sisters, today we all have the resurrection life in us. Our outer man is decaying, But our inner man is being renewed day by day. It is through his resurrection life. In the midst of our sufferings, brothers and sisters, we have grace, which is Christ himself doing what we cannot do, endure what we cannot endure. Passing through all kinds of suffering, the eventual outcome is that we are a people of hope. So, Paul says this interpreted mystery is Christ in us, what? The hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, we have no other hope. Psalm 73, the psalmist said to Jehovah, today, what did he say? I have none in heaven, I have none that I love on this earth. So he touched this. I do not need anything in heaven and on earth. I only want you. I only need you. You are everything to me. Okay. Let me read the outline and we'll be through. I have spoken enough. Have you heard what I said? How about raise your hand if you have heard what I said? Okay, thank you. At least you have received a little. That is good. Now, let me read to you. Message 5. God's intention was Job, that a good man become a God man. God does not want a large number of good men. Rather, God wants to have a God man. 1. The Bible of 66 books is for one thing, for God in Christ has the Spirit to dispense himself into us to be our life, our nature, and our everything, that we may live Christ and express Christ. Don't forget my 3 simple answers, 3 concise answers to the 3 major questions. Number 1, to express God. Number 2, to gain God. Number 3, to become God. This is the answer to the universe. This is my gift to the whole humankind. This is very simple. You don't need to go to the philosophers. Ethical people like Confucius. Capital A, this should be the principle that governs our life. Capital B, in a practical way, this should be today's tree of life for our enjoyment. Roman numeral 2, Job was a good man, expressing himself in his perfection, uprightness, and integrity. Capital A, being perfect is related to the inner man and being upright is related to the outer man. B. Job was a man of integrity. Integrity is the totality of being perfect and upright. Small one. With respect to Job, integrity is the total expression of what he was. 2. In character, Job was perfect and upright, and in his ethics, he had a high standard of integrity. Capital C. Job feared God positively and turned away from evil negatively. Small one. God did not create man merely to fear him and not to do anything wrong. Rather, God created man in his own image and according to his likeness, that man may express God. We are not here to encourage you to be evil persons. Oh, if you don't want good men, then we just want to be evil men. No, I don't ask you to become evil men. I want you to become a God man. Small 2, express God is higher than fearing God and turning away from evil. 3, what Job had attained in his perfection, uprightness and integrity was altogether vanity. Vanity of vanities. The physical things, people and matter are all vanity. Even this perfection, uprightness and integrity from a human source is vanity. It neither fulfilled God's purpose nor satisfied his desire, and thus he was lovingly concerned for Job. D. Only God knew that Job had a need. He did not have God within him. Therefore, God wanted Job to gain him in order to express him for the fulfillment of his purpose. Roman numeral 3. God's intention was that Job would become a God-man, expressing God in his attributes. A. God ushered Job into another realm, the realm of God. This is the divine and mystical realm, the realm of the Spirit, that Job might gain God instead of his attainments in his perfection, righteousness, and integrity. B. God's intention with Job was to consume him and to strip him of his attainments, his achievements in the higher standard of ethics in perfection and uprightness. C. God's intention was to tear down the natural Job in his perfection and uprightness, that he might build up a renewed Job in God's nature and attributes. Listen. Listen to me. What I was so concerned is that you see some dear saints, God's hand was upon them, they became sick or they suffered some loss in their business, all kinds of sufferings in their human life. Yet, what I'm most concerned is, after they pass through those things, their being is not changed at all. This is absolutely possible. And we all have some experience about this. By change, I don't mean you become better, become more ethical. No, the change that I'm talking about is that inside of you, you have this registration that God has increased in him. Christ has been added to him. I don't remember whether it is Watchman Nee or who else he said. He asked a brother, or we should ask this question. A person after he passed through some dealing, some afflictions, we should not just ask him, how about brother, you have recovered from your sickness. Of course, we should take care of them in that way. But we should ask, brother, has God increased in you? That is the crux of the matter. That is the major question. The hymn says, each blow I suffer is true gain to me in the place of what thou takest. Thou dost give thyself to me. Do you have this replacement? Do you have Christ increasing in you? Or do you just suffer some blow? Even if you pass through all these hardships, maybe God will also add to us some material blessing. But at that time, at the end of the book of Job, Job became a different person. Before his sufferings, he was one kind of a person. he had a self-contentment about what he was and what he possessed. But after that process of God's dealings, he still had the material blessing. But his inner feeling must be totally different. He knew all these outward things could be removed anytime, maybe tomorrow. I cannot rely on those for my living. Number two, even if I possess these, they cannot compare with seeing God with my eye. In spiritual terms, to see God is to gain God.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
Matthew says, blessed are the pure in heart. Because they shall see God. To see God is not just see God with your physical eyes. To see God is to gain God. Fanny Crosby, a famous hymn writer, she wrote more than 8,000 hymns. Some of those were included in our hymnal. A lot of gospel hymns. She was blind throughout her life. She said, the first face that I will see is the face of my dear Savior. Because throughout her life, she did not see anybody. She was blind. Dear brothers and sisters, if we have ever seen God, we will be blind to everything else. We do not see those because we have seen the most excellent treasure, the treasure of peerless worth, which is Christ Himself, the most excellent Christ, the Christ of God. Okay, let me continue with the outline. Capital D. God's intention was to make Job a man of God, filled with Christ, the embodiment of God, to be the fullness of God for the expression of God in Christ. E. God's stripping and consuming were exercised over Job to tear him down, that God might have a base and a way to rebuild him with God Himself, so that he might become a God-man, the same as God in his life and nature, but not in his Godhead, in order to express God. When God's hand is upon us, we should bow and worship God. You have been merciful to me. You are here to rebuild me so that I can have my old man stripped off so that I can become a new man. Roman numeral 4. In Christ, God has been constituted into man. Man has been constituted into God. And God and man have been mingled together to be one entity, which is called the God-man. A. The many God-men, the many sons of God, are the increase, reproduction, duplication, and continuation of Christ, the first God-man. B. A God-man is one who partakes of God's life and nature, thus becoming one with God in his life and nature and thereby expressing him. C. A God-man has been born of God to be a child of God, having the life and nature of God. Small one, a God-man has two lives, the human and the divine, and two natures, humanity and divinity. 2. A God-man is a life man. 3. A God-man is a God-man. That is, a man who has the nature of God. D. A God-man is constituted with God, having God as his life, life supply, and everything. Thus, a God-man is man yet God, and God yet man. This is so marvelous. E. A God-man is a new creation and the righteousness of God in Christ. F. A God-man loves the Lord with his whole being, that is, from his heart, soul, mind, and his strength. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, which part of your being do you exercise to love the Lord absolutely? That part is what God gains. Whichever part you do not love the Lord, God cannot enter into that part. So you need to love Him from your heart, your soul, your mind, and even your strength. So that our whole being can be transformed. G. A God-man has no confidence in the flesh, denies herself, and exercises the Spirit to live Christ. H. A God-man is a man of God with the Word of God, inhaling the breath of God. We must have the Word of the Lord. We must enter into the Lord's Word to inhale the breath of God. Inhale what God is. Inhale the elements of God into us. Not only do we just read His Word and understand it, rather we need to inhale the being of God into us. That is a genuine God-man. Finally, point I. A God-man realizes that he is not an independent individual, but part of the corporate God-man, the body of Christ, the one new man. Thank the Lord. You must have been praying for me. Now it's 11:27. I think that now let's have some prayer with your neighbor. Not just 30 seconds, but have a longer prayer for 2 minutes. 2 minute prayers. Then will be followed by some testimonies.